Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Hello, Brian Kennedy.
Hi, Mary. We were gossiping so hard
before
we came on air.
I know, but don't say what we were talking about.
No, I'm not saying a word. I know how to keep a secret.
We closed the channel down.
Listen, after all these years, I know how to keep a secret, darling. Don't you worry.
You look great.
Thank you, so do you.
Most people know you've had cancer.
Yes.
But the surgery went very well. Great.
Yeah, the prognosis was they got it all, thank God. Now, there's still a road to go, as there always is with this disease. But I've got to tell you, the week after the operation was the worst week of my 52 years on this earth. I was very allergic to the drugs. They gave me fentanyl. They gave me ketamine. They gave me morphine. They gave me all this kind of stuff. And I had terrible hallucinations and nightmares for about 4 or 5 days. That I would never like to go through ever again in my life. The good news is the doctor said to me, she goes, Brian, the good news is you'll never be an addict. Like, you just can't handle the drugs, dude.
Yeah.
And that was actually very good news.
Yeah.
But honestly, the staff were an army of angels. I had to learn to walk again. I couldn't walk at all after it because I'd been in bed permanently for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And I didn't realise that was enough for the muscles in your legs to really atrophy. And you couldn't use them. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
So I had to learn to, you know, literally on a walker, on a frame, day by day, then lose the walker, then one arm, then all of that. So it was like a kind of a weird movie, but I got through it all. And I'm sitting before you now feeling very hopeful.
And it's all gone.
Yes,
apparently they
got everything.
The cancer, Is that a lovely feeling, I often wonder, Brian, when you obviously are put under anaesthetic for a very serious operation for cancer and you wake up and you're obviously hoping it's going to be good news?
Yeah. The operation was 9 hours long, by the way. And I didn't realise the operation had happened when I became conscious again, because I was in so much pain with my shoulders and my right eye were in real distress because I must have been in such a weird position for so long. And I was convinced I had a rubber suit on, but it was actually an epidural.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, I've got this roasting rubber suit on. What's wrong with me? And I was kind of slightly given out to these nurses who didn't really understand my accent. And because, of course, it got a lot stronger.
Yeah.
And when I got angry, and eventually she goes, Brian, you're naked. You haven't got a rubber suit on. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, I'm with you now. So, yeah, it was a learning curve from the get-go.
You're going to have chemo?
Yes, I am. I start that at the end of this year, I think, if we can start it then. Certainly in January at the latest. They usually do 8 weeks between the end of surgery and the beginning of the next phase. And I believe that's to absolutely eradicate anything possibly new, anything grow, whatever, you know, but it's just, I will go with the process. And listen, I know there are people out there who are going to email me and say, do not have the chemo. Oh my God, chemo's this, that and the other. I've been through everything. I went on a herbal course. I did an amazing IV vitamin C course with a lovely lady who used to sit beside me every week called Vicky, who was from Galway. And we used to chat every week. One day I went home and switched on the TV and there she was. It was Vicky Phelan.
Wow.
Who was my
amazing
vitamin C IV partner in crime.
Fantastic.
So things like that. So I've been through an incredible journey in the last 2 years of leaving no stone unturned. And this is, it seems to be the best path.
And you're looking great and the prognosis is great.
Yes.
And I've probably known you a good few years, Brian, chatted to you. Has it changed you? Or is that just a cliche? You know, if you get very ill and you're confronted perhaps with your own mortality, even.
Yeah.
Has it changed you as a person?
Yes. I used to think I was impatient before. I'm super impatient now, especially with my friends that I know I can be impatient with. You know, I couldn't cook for myself. The wonderful Ronan Ryan has been delivering food to my house. My mates have been delivering food. Ken Rice, you know, Mary Crumlish. You find out who your friends are.
Mm.
And if you can really be cranky and unbelievably rude to your friend, because I just haven't slept well, I'm in a bad mood, I'm maybe a wee bit scared, I'm a wee bit those kind of things, you know. I've had a terrible nightmare about something that I can't really share with people.
Mm.
So if they can actually cut through all that and go, yeah, anyway, Brian, I brought you some soup and blah, 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 and I'll just leave it here because you're obviously not in great form. So my friends know me and I can also sit there in silence with my friends and not have to talk and light the fire and just, you know, get through it. So it's been a really interesting learning curve. Paul Byrne, I have to say, has been just my God, what an incredible person. It was his idea to put this ball together that we're having on the 21st.
Which Tell us about this ball.
Well,
actually,
this is a fundraiser ball. I did not have the right insurance. Let's just do the small version of the story. I had insurance for my Jeep and my house and my guitars and my everything else, but not for BK, it turns out. Not the right insurance anyway. And I suddenly ended up with this gigantic, facing this gigantic bill. I mean, alone, if I'll just tell you the figures, alone just for the hospital stay for 19 days was 60,000 sterling. That's just, now that's not for the surgeon.
This was just outside London in
Harrow. I happened to just hit on a surgeon I really had a connection with. Psychologically, that was the moment when I was ready to do this. It was a massive journey. And I've ended up with obviously two stomas and all of this kind of journey, you know. So the bill, and you have to pay it before you go to hospital, by the way. I suppose in case you die or in case something happens. So suddenly I had to come up with 60 grand. Paul Byrne said to me, we'll have a ball. That's what we're doing.
I love it.
He just decided, like, that's what we're doing. And I've got incredible musical guests who said yes immediately. The Coronas, Gavin James, Picture This. There's a few other secret people I cannot mention. And so far, we've basically raised the money.
And it's this coming Friday, isn't it, Brian, in the Dublin's Clayton Hotel?
That's right.
Called the Betterman Ball for you. Is it full? Could someone still
go? It's full, but I'm telling you something. They will always find another table. If you really want to come, email Santa, and that is her real name. I believe she's from Lithuania. Santa@bodyburn.ie, and she's looking after all of the tables and everything.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I have in front of me as well your new Christmas album.
Yes.
Christmassy Deluxe Edition.
Deluxe, baby.
Yeah, tell me, was this something you wanted to do to get away from all the illness and the health issues and just do what you're good at doing?
I suppose the therapist in me would say yes, because I wouldn't necessarily know that immediately, but I'm the kind of person who discovers things about myself months later, you know, in my behaviour. So I would think so, because Christmas time for me was always quite a difficult time. I was disconnected from my family, obviously. I was in an estranged situation, but I still am, you know. Mm. And I know for some people listening out there, Christmas is a horrific time of year, desperately lonely time. Now, that's not necessarily the case for me, but also for a lot of gay men of my generation, it's not an easy time. But the great thing about it is you do make your own family and your own friends. And so what started to really win me over was the soundtrack to Christmas. And unbeknownst to me, I'd see myself kind of tapping my foot or something, be like, stop that. You know, stop having a nice time to that song at Christmas. Calm down, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was always sort of a bit humbug in my, you know, bah humbug in my close circle, you know, for a laugh. But then I just thought to myself, you know what? I'm actually not like that. I actually love the lights, the Grafton Street, Belfast Market, you know, things like that. And actually, I adore Christmas music. So then as a singer, the challenge was, what music would we do? Billy Farrell and I, my producer, got together and we came up with an extraordinary list of songs. I performed all of this in Rathgar Church, by the way, 4 weeks ago. Like 2 weeks after coming out of hospital, I did a gig. I did a 95-minute gig. Just to prove that I could. I also sang for Gareth O'Callaghan in Vicar Street.
Fantastic.
As a little toe tester. But I'm so proud of this record. I love the music. It puts me in great form. And it proved to me that I could do it.
It's beautiful because we're going to go out on one today. And if somebody wants to buy your Christmas album, Brian.
Yes. Well, fabulously, Tara Records in particular have stocked it very kindly. But I think it's in other shops too. But Tara Records mainly in Dublin. If you're going by, that's where you'll find it.
And you've still got that beautiful voice.
Yeah. The greatest thing of all, having been through this journey, is I have not lost, if anything, my voice is stronger because I'm determined.
Which is wonderful. Well, look, Brian, it's been my privilege to have you in today. We're going to go out, actually, listening to your A Winter's Tale.
Oh, great.
Is that
the David
okay?
Essex song.
Yeah, which is beautiful, from your album, Christmassy Deluxe, that people can buy. I want to thank on sound today, Kieran Cullen.
Brilliant
Africa
job,
O'Connell.
Kieran. David Keenan sounded amazing.
Yeah, he really did. Loads of texts about him, which I haven't time to read. Africa O'Connell was our BCO. Sean O'Gorman was our producer. Brian, I wish you the very best of luck.
You too, darling.
Yeah, you'll be doing great. And we're going to go out listening to A Winter's Tale. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll be here at the same time next Sunday.
Bye.
Bye.
The nights are colder now. Maybe I should close the door. And anyway, the snow has has covered all your footsteps, and I can follow you no more. The fire still burns at night. My memories are warm and clear. But everybody knows it's hard to be alone at this time of year. It was only a winter's tale, just another winter's tale. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's failed? A love that can never be, though it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale. Ringing far away, I wonder if you hear, I wonder if you're listening, I wonder where you are today. Good luck, I wish you well, for all that wishes may be worth. I hope that love and strength are with you for the length of your time on earth. It was only a winter's tale, just another winter's tale. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's failed? It's a love that can never be, though it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale. It was only a winter's tale, just another winter's tale. Why should the world take notice of one more love that's failed? It's a love that can never be, though it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale.